The first thing is to be conscious of this whole vibratory field of the whole universe. Just a kind of very, very light vibration of the space, which is not already sounds that the ear can hear, but which is there and that we can feel. When I make music, I am in a state of deep concentration, bound to different kind of listening, with a great respect for the spatial quality of the sounds and their resonance over body, mind, and spirit.
It's very different with Ilian's music because I do not think of specific things that I have to keep in mind. What I'm concentrating on is the body, to be ready for what will somehow unfold by itself. I remember two things that she said often. Il faut être disponible. She says, like, to be available is to be available for the musical event. The transitions are very, like, the most difficult and the most beautiful, just like in life.
A lot of Elian's music is to do with crossfade. So one sound will come in and imperceptibly another sound will appear without you realizing it. All of a sudden you're in a very different state while the other one drops out. Slowly another one might come in. So there's always something happening imperceptibly and all of a sudden you're in a completely different space to where you were like 5 minutes earlier.
I am mainly concerned by the articulation between the different parts of the piece, like some kind of ambiguous intermodulation without any silence interruption, slowly, continuously changing as a plant growing.
Elian showed me right at the very beginning, she showed me this picture of the Hokusai wave. When rehearsing a piece, going back to that image helped really sort of focus the mind back to an area of sound, I suppose. Early on, as well as the Hokusai wave, she showed me a sort of spectrum of waves, starting with like the resonance of the world, moving through electromagnetic micropulsation, seismic exploration, and then going through ultraviolet, X-ray, gamma ray.
So there's this general image of all the waves of the world, of which he saw this scheme in the Museum of Natural History.
On the largest wall above, there were a long stripe showing the wavelengths from the Earth to the Sun and going to the mini subatomic and more than that. So, and I realized that I had a kind of vertigo in front of that. This came up into my mind like a kind of deep truth of the way words was wavering all the time, that we were constituted of waves.
She gave me, let's say, my image, which also matched some of my memories. She said to sort of embody this idea of all the waves of the world, I am giving you an image of a real water, the Lake of Geneva.
So she'll say, you know, there's a glacier, and then you imagine the water going down the mountain, and she'll explain the sort of color and the depth and the qualities of the water, the temperature.
The ocean with the large wave of the tide and the small little shivering on a beach. This was what I would call the main spirit for all this series of work called Occam Ocean. It is clear that a piece related to a little source coming out of bubbles of water going to a river, to the sea, will not be expressed the same way as a fall, a torrent, or waves of the ocean.
She has been comparing, like, music as a cut out of all the waves. Everything is made from waves. This table is made from waves. My voice is made from waves. This telephone conversation travels via electromagnetic waves. Light is made from waves. And when I play, then this is somehow, I sort of, it's like a little frame where I can make visible or audible that what happens anyway.
The transition between electronic music and acoustical works, it didn't change that much, because I was looking for the way of getting into the deep nature of the sounds.
Eliane says that the music she's making now with the musicians couldn't have been made without her working with electronic sounds.
Transmission has always been a goal with music, since the first chanting of monks to the sophistication of European notation.
Eliane transmits her pieces to us, and these pieces emerge between us. Much of it comes from being in a room with her and through conversation, and of course, since Eliane doesn't travel anymore, through telephone calls.
Thank you.
It's not as if she's not giving us instructions, but they are just really different instructions than traditionally we are given as musicians.
In a way, we're taking Elian's sound waves and converting them somehow into these pieces and performing them in, you know, many different parts of the world, which she isn't unable to attend anymore.
Elian's music is a lot about communicability, about being together, about osmosis, about exchange.
With electronical sounds, I have been very much alone. But with the musician, it's a very intense and profound sharing of what we decide together.
It's a focus on a shared listening. And if you're playing an ensemble piece. But even if I'm playing the solo piece, it's a shared listening in that there's a room full of people, and also you're responding to the actual room. Sometimes I might tune the harp because it might resonate more specifically in one room.
When the structure is made, we can absolutely forget about the image, just like a score. We don't need a score to listen to any music.
The score is in me now, in myself. It's not something I'm going to quickly forget. And I think that Elian doesn't know the score anymore. She has really completely passed it on to me. But also because it's one score out of many possible scores, so it's not really important that she remembers precisely this score. Because anyway, these possible scores are inscribed in the waves of the world.
These pieces interconnect and piece together in a fascinating way, because sort of modular combinational balancing of tuning whilst you're playing, and part of that is the piece in a way, the interplay of getting these tiny little fluctuations of sound and rhythm and beating and harmonics and overtones to dance, I suppose. There is a family of us who are sharing these experiences. And yes, we're transmitting Elian's music. We're also kind of transmitting our knowledge, which is shared with Elian. But also, I think it's one big continuum. It's embodied in us all, I suppose.
Clouds coming from the ocean, going after to rain, and then to sources, and sources to river, river to go back to the ocean, and all that. It's very large and generous, all the subject matter. who are bathing in this vibratory field. And we don't know, the listener, being involved in saying, so where are we now? Are we at the source, or are we at this part, or are we floating in this ocean of sounds? Ocean in the sense of the vibration that they create.
The pieces in the beginning are not so long, you know, you try out things and so, but the more you go into them, the more you give them time, they also get really longer and longer, and they develop their own time somehow by themselves. It's not even necessary to say it should be longer or so, but it's growing, simply, very naturally.
Very quickly, working with Elian, we came that this parallel movement, so bowing the harp, which is a sort of an orthodox technique for the harp, I suppose, because normally you usually pluck the strings, so that the bows are moving in the same direction and back together at the same time, and produce this really rich overtone. A lot of the other work was working on the detail then of kind of mapping the instrument, so you're sort of moving up the harp logically, so one sound leads to another sound, leads to another sound, quite organically, as an osmosis.
Has never been an end by itself or my main purpose. It's just a means against others to change slowly the proportions of these constituents, creating a slow, endless changing of this initial state of the sound to another one, but almost unnoticeable on the way.
My score is very simple. It's just this path I'm going on the string. I know where I go. I know a little bit what will happen, but I'm not completely in control. My instrument is the viola. I have tuned the instrument in this case in such a way that the lowest string is even much lower. And I start the piece really practically on the bridge, where there is chance that there's sort of no sound, only noise. And so from this point, I very, very slowly come on the part where the string sounds, and I move the bow very slowly to the end.
This strong connection that we have, I'm often, if the time zones permit, we phone Elian before a concert. It kind of helps reinvigorate or refresh sometimes the pieces, just hearing Elian's voice.
It's very fascinating to observe slow changes. It reminded me when I, as a child, would try to seize the moment or be aware of the moment I would fall asleep. always next morning I thought, oh, I again missed it. And this is a bit like this music is also, that when you want to somehow be aware of when it happens, and then it has already happened.
Concerning the beginning and the end, in fact, it's very simple. Fading in and fading out, considering the beginning silence, slowly moved by light vibration, becoming sounds, and at the end, going back to silence.
I somehow have never the feeling that before my piece, there's nothing. And also after the piece, it's not as if music stops or something. It's just that this little frame is then over.